Praise the Lord. You did all the you announced everything that's going on this week, didn't you? Yes. You need a microphone. Go ahead, you can hold it.
It just got stronger when you, because I'm careful.
Yeah.
There's so much in the body of Christ where people just say stuff. You start out that way when you learn to be used prophetically and you mess up and you say stuff. But it's not a time and a day to say stuff anymore. That we want to know that when we speak, it's the oracles of God. And I kept hearing over and over at communion that this is a day and time when we better live repentantly, daily examine ourselves to see that we're in the faith and look in the mirror of that word and let the Holy Spirit have us walk in correction, because the Lord will have a body that is without spot and without wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Jesus said he's going to build his church so that the gates of hell don't prevail against it. You have a prophet of God coming in here and a prophetess with the glory of God all over them, and we want to make sure we're under the blood.
Amen.
I believe the Holy Spirit so appreciates that you honor the blood of Jesus and his body every week, but that it must not be taken lightly. But every week, the Holy Spirit helps me to say anything I've thought, said, or done that was displeasing to you or not in order with your word. Forgive me today. Cleanse me with that blood. That blood is an opportunity for us every week to freshly apply the blood and go from glory to glory and from faith to faith. And we must not take that precious blood for granted, because it's done here every week. It's holy, like he's holy, and more of his holiness will be applied if we will live repentantly and let the Holy Spirit help us to look into the word and examine ourselves daily to see that we're in the faith. You're asking for the glory in this house. You're believing for signs and wonders and miracles. We better be under the blood. We better be living repentantly, because the blood, if we're hidden in the blood and we let that cleanse us every day, then we can and will be used for his glory. But if we take that blood for granted and we keep walking in the flesh, we're in great danger, even like Ananias and Sapphira. Those days are coming back, Pastor. So the Spirit of the Lord is saying we need to live repentantly, and it's easy when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is with us and we have the manual, the Word of God. It's not hard. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and it's all in his word and his blood and the power of the Holy Ghost. Get a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost and fire. Pray in tongues every day. Yeah. Let that word and that blood examine you and cleanse you, and then we're headed for the glory of God that's coming into this house and into God's church. It's going to roll across this nation. The harvest is going to come in, and in the middle of that harvest, he's catching away his bride. Then and only then will the Antichrist spirit be loosed on this earth.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I heard Steve Hill preach one time, and he was preaching about the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the miracles. He said, guess what? During the height of the move of God, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Ghost, and they got smoked. So when the presence of God is there that thick, quick judgment's going to come. I don't think it's changed since then. If we believe the power hasn't changed, if we believe the miracles haven't changed, why would we believe sudden judgment changed? So thank you for sharing that. And we do. I don't ever want you, and probably don't stress it enough, but you should never take communion lightly.
That's right.
Just because we do it every week because the Holy Spirit told us to do it every week. If you do it once a quarter, I don't care. A church does it once a year, but I heard Dick Rubin say one time, he said, well, would you only be intimate with your wife once a year? It's representing his death, resurrection, but unifying with him and coming together with him. So communing with him. Exactly. So I'm glad you said that. It's better you say it than me, because I probably just start sounding like a broken record sometimes. So you guys have got a lot in you. And God would have no objection if you took communion with Him every day by yourself or with your family. God, I think God loves that. It says whenever you come together. If you wanted to say it's only once a quarter, well, really, if you looked biblically, you could go, well, it was just on Passover is when you're supposed to do it. That's when it happened, but that's not what He said. So, bless y'all. Praise God. I'm excited about what God's doing. Lord, I just thank You that a loud wake-up call goes out to the church. I don't mean our church. Yeah, our church too. A loud wake-up call to call them in from the north, south, east, and the west, to call forth all those that are prodigal, living prodigal right now, God, that they'll come home. God, let them run out of money. Let them run out of kicks. Let them run out of drugs. Let them run out of sex, God. Draw them into the house of God, Lord. Let them be empty in this world, God. Empty. Completely empty, God. So they'll call out to You. And how many of y'all went far enough on the sin train to know that it eventually leads to emptiness and death? Praise God. It didn't claim our lives, but spiritually we were just empty and a wreck, weren't we? So some of us were anyway. Psalm 100. It's only six verses, so five verses. Here, Elizabeth, be my echo. I'm going to sing something.
Okay.
You know how to echo. I hear you do it all the time. Whatever you call it. Ready for this? I don't care what the world is going to do.
I don't care what the world is going to do.
A little more.
Okay.
Stand up. You got to stand up to get it out right. And after we learn how this goes, we're going to do it together. Everybody stand up. We're going to do it together. Oh, come on. This is fun. I don't care what the world is going to do.
And I don't care what the world is going to do.
I don't care what the world is going to do.
And I don't care what the world is going to do.
One more time. I don't care what the world is going to do.
And I don't care what the world is going to do.
I'm going to stay.
I'm gonna 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 stay.
With my sweet Jesus.
My sweet Jesus.
With my sweet Jesus.
With my sweet Jesus.
You could probably do that better. Want to try it? No? Anybody can do it better than me. You get the fact? You get it?
Yes.
I don't care. I don't care what the world, that's the trouble. We got the cares of the world all over us. We care what the world's doing. We care what the world's saying. We care what people think about us. It's irrelevant, man. It's what does God say? What does God think about us? Praise the Lord. Yahweh, excuse me, Yahweh. God can be G-O-D, little g, little g. Yahweh, Elohim, Adonai. Praise God for the word of God. Amen. Y'all can sit down. Sorry to butcher that little chorus. Who was that, Nana? Marlon Lefevre and Broken Heart. I know y'all get, man, come on. Are you ever going to get off that? Well, when I start seeing a pop Jesus group leading hundreds of thousands of kids to the Lord, then I'm going to get off of it. I just don't see that no more. That's what it's all about, ain't it? No, it's about Christian entertainment. What? 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 Yours? Okay. Psalm 100. I promise. I'll stop. Y'all okay? Oh, by the way, it was awesome, awesome preaching Friday night. Whoa, you can get it. It'll be on a podcast, Pastor James Henson. It was good stuff, good foundational teach. It was awesome. So get on there and listen to it, would you? Psalm 100, make a joyful shout. And it probably says noise in King James, but it says in mine, it says make a joyful shout. And that shout is translated Ruah, Ruah, shout in triumph over the enemy, to shout of applause and praise. That's what Ruah means. So make a joyful shout to the Lord, Yahweh, self-existent, eternal one, God's name, Yahweh. Who said something about, who was saying how holy God was? Was that you? You were singing it, and you were talking how holy God is. So holy that the Jews couldn't even pronounce his name. It was Y blank H blank, no vowels. So you couldn't even pronounce his name. It was so holy. But it's Yahweh. Yahweh God. I think we can pronounce it now because we got the blood of Jesus over the doorposts of our minds, don't we? Let's say that. One, two, three. Yahweh. Let's say it again. One, two, three. Yahweh. Come on. Loud. Yahweh. Yahweh is Lord. Yahweh is King. Yahweh is the Most High God. In Jesus' name. Nothing wrong with speaking Hebrew, is there? No. Praise the Lord. I reckon it's God's language. You reckon? I don't know. You think so? Think he speaks English? Well, sure he does. He speaks wherever he needs to speak, but if he taught, never mind. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord Yahweh with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. What's gladness for? Being happy? Yeah, it is being happy. Being what? Being content? Yes, it is. Gladness. Whoa, that's a heavy word, isn't it? You got to read these. When you read the Psalms and you read every word and go, wow, that's when I can serve the Lord because I'm glad to serve the Lord. Religion serves the Lord because they've got to serve the Lord, and it's some kind of I think religion always believed, at least the way I understood it, if you've got a pair of scales and you put all your good deeds on one and you put all your bad deeds on the other, as long as your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you're going to get to heaven. That's right. Without the blood, you got nothing. You just got dead works. Say dead works. Dead works. Hey, get that? The dead work. The dead work. Dead works. The dead work. Kind of reminds me, man. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Yes, Lord. Know that the Lord, he is God, the true God. Elohim, the true God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. I am your people, God. We are your people, God. Faith Harvest is your people, God. The people, the churches in southern Indiana are your people, and we are the sheep of your pasture. We will enter your gates with thanksgiving. What's that, Samuel? Is that something you do November 24th? You do. Most people don't, but... What's it mean to you, thanksgiving? Being thankful. Stuff that other people don't have. Well, that's good. That is good. enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Wow. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Isaiah 40. Would y'all go there, please? Verse 30. And y'all know these verses, but you need to know them. Y'all got it? Isaiah 40, 30. Even the youth, what's a youth? Youth group? Young people, probably. I don't even know what that entails. You know, I don't know what age, but it's a lot younger than I am. The youth will faint and be weary. You ever get weary? Yeah. Y'all get weary too, don't you? Yeah. In what way? Like, are you tired physically? Or are you tired in your soul sometimes? Or frustrated and angry? You're being honest. Wow. Not what? Not content. Very good. So you, even young people feel that way, don't they? Probably because they see us feeling that way so much, they think that's normal. Even the youth will faint and be weary, and the young men will utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up like wings, with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. For the Lord is good. Say, for the Lord is good. Yahweh is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Go to Matthew 19. I'm sorry, Matthew 19, verse 16. And I'm not reading any scripture to you that's veiled and you haven't read before, but sometimes we need to look at it a little deeper, you know? Now behold, one came and said to him, to who? Jesus. Good teacher, which was probably in the King James. Is that rabbi? Has anybody got King James? Probably rabbi, teacher. Good master. Good teacher, good master, rabbi. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. And the rich guy said to him, which ones? Which ones do I need to keep to get into glory? Well, he's already screwed up. Jesus said, you shall not murder. Think about it. Well, I've never done that. Okay, you're safe so far. Not commit adultery. Yeah. Most of us are safe there. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. What's that mean? To lie. Tell a lie. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man was happy because he said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. See, he messed up. He had to go on and ask another question. He said, what do I still lack? He knew he was lacking, didn't he? I know I'm lacking when I'm lacking, don't you? I don't have to ask God, but it's a good thing to check with him and see what's making him happy or what he's, you know, he's got better things for us. Jesus said to him, if you want to be what? Perfect. If you want to be perfect. Now, we would sit here and say, nobody's perfect, right? That's something we say all the time when we make a mistake. Nobody's perfect, man, right? Nobody's perfect. But if you want to be perfect, and I'll translate what that means in Greek. I looked in the Strong's. It means brought to its end, finished, wanting nothing necessary to completeness. Fully grown, adult, of full age, and mature. He said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Wow. What do I need to do, Jesus, to be perfect? And Jesus listened to him, and he told him. Has Jesus ever told you something that you really didn't want to hear, and you kind of just ignored and... I know I am. I'm not proud of it. And how many of y'all, I bet some of y'all though, because you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, you got nudged a little bit and nudged a little bit. And at first you said, I won't, but then you said, okay, I will. Y'all ever done that? Jesus tells a story about that, doesn't he? It was two sons. One said, father said, do this. And the son said, okay, I'll do it, Dad. I'll do it. I'll do it. And the other son went, nope, like you, kind of like you, Samuel. Not picking you out, but kind of like you, right? No, I don't want to do that. No, I ain't going to do that. I'm not saying you're like that. I'm just using you for an example. And then one son that said, I'll do it, he didn't do it. But the son that said, I won't do it, he did it. He mulled up over it. He complained a little bit. It's always okay to change your mind for God. You know that? Yeah. Instant obedience is victory, but any obedience to God is victory, okay? Sure, instantly is the best, but think about it. Mull on it. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit, because he will nudge on you and nudge on you. Does he ever do that to you? Kind of like, come on. Does he ever do that to you, Sarah? Come on. You're a pretty quick obeyer, aren't you? When you were a teenager, were you a quick obeyer, or everybody just thought you were? Everybody thought you were. I never tried to fake them out. I was just like, here, this, you got what you got. And praise God. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Amen? Amen? You know, religion's hanging around the cross, isn't it? Isn't it? You're just hanging out under the steeple every now and then and getting a fix. And then when you leave here, you forget what you look like. You forget what the commandments of the Lord are. You forget how much he loves you. He forgets what a plan he has for your life. And you're a forgetter of what he has promised, right? How many of y'all grew up in church? I did. Anybody else? Hi. I grew up in church, and I was a good boy. I started writing a book about what a good boy I was when I was a young man. I was a good boy. If somebody had said the SH word around me at one time, I can remember that grieved me, because I never heard that around my house. See, it just kind of grieved me. And then I can remember when I broke that, and it just got easier and easier and easier to do more and more ungodly things. But I can remember they used to have a youth group, and we was a Methodist church. We had a real evangelical pastor. I mean, now that I look back at this man, his name was George Phillips, but he was like, rah. He bought all these buses, these old school buses, down on Dixie Highway. I don't know if y'all know where Lowe's is now on Dixie Highway. That used to be Aldersgate Methodist Church, but I guess they got a lot of money for it and tore it down. But this guy got a bunch of buses, and he started taking these buses, two or three of them, and driving all the way to Fort Knox, and he was picking up soldiers and bringing them back to church and feeding them dinner afterwards. And it just occurred to me a few years ago, that was when Vietnam was like, So a lot of these boys that probably came out to church got right with God, and then they went over to Vietnam and got wasted. And he knew that, see. I don't think probably most people in the church had a vision of what God was showing him to do. So you don't always know why. It's like, oh, we just want to be patriotic. That wasn't the reason. He wanted to see these young men prosper in the Lord and go to heaven. Does that? That's why you don't always understand everybody's vision. They don't give you the whole thing, but this man had a vision. This man had a vision. And I'll never forget, they fired that man because they said, he told me one time later on after I came back to the Lord, he said, oh man, praise God, I am so glad to see you came to the Lord because you was a pain. No, really. He said, I'm so glad that God saved you.
Yes, he did.
He did. Donald was there. But he said, you remember when I left the church, I didn't say nothing about it much, but he said, they had a board meeting and said, this is no way to run a business. And George Phillips went, he was from Mississippi, he said, that is demonic. That is demonic. And they fired him. Because he wasn't making enough money. He was spending money on frivolous things like people's souls. And I know y'all don't feel like it at all. I'm just saying, get the vision. Get the eternal vision. What if I get rich? And what if I die? And what if I go to heaven and I have no rewards? Don't I want to be perfect? You know, really. Think all the stuff that consumes our lives when we could be giving it for the gospel. And y'all, you know, I hear pastors every now and then, maybe they don't say it, but they allude to, well, if they get more money, I'm like, God, you guys are, I would put this church up, I'm blessing you. I'd put this church up against any church givers because y'all are givers. You're givers, givers, givers. And for the little size of this church, man, you support missionaries in Japan and two ministries in Israel. Where else? Haiti every month. I mean, you support the nations. Plus, you pour out, I don't know how much money every year, this food pantry, blessing people with food that need something to eat and prayer. You guys are, you know, you're a ministry church. It's not enough. Was it 15% maybe?
I think it was actually 20.
That's not bad, but you know, I pray someday, my vision's always been to give at least 50% of the money, just give it back into the kingdom, give it back into missions, give it back into things that really have eternal rewards. We got a ways to go, but praise God, we're getting there. And so I thank y'all. You are faithful servants, and Lord, I just pray to every empty chair here. There's reasons people aren't here, God. I pray for their life. I pray for their families right now. I pray against discouragement, God, that you would encourage, God, and lift up and break the yoke, break the shackles off this morning, God. Break them off, God, that every chair can be filled for the kingdom. Bring in the lost ones, God. Bring in the wavering ones, God. Bring in the broken ones, God. Bring them in from the north, south, east, and the west in Jesus' name. Bring them in. Bring them in, God, that the table in heaven can be filled in Jesus' name. And maybe God will give you a creative way to get people into the kingdom. But like this Pastor Phillips, he gave him, okay, I see people are getting ready to die. I see people are getting ready to go over and get wasted in Vietnam. We got to do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it means spending a few bucks feeding them lunch and blessing them and taking them home and loving on them because they're away from their families, that's y'all, man, you know. Praise God. Lift up somebody that's down. Lift up somebody that's broken, like your biker buddy.
Yes.
He thinks he's okay, probably. He's probably got some philosophy that, you know, I don't know, you said New Age. That's such a murky, big, nasty mess, you know. But there's a lot of people that think they're okay, but they never heard the truth. They've never heard the truth from somebody that loves them. So just be who you are. That's what I advise you to be who you are, Buster. You be who you are. People love you for who you are, not who you're not. People will come into the kingdom for who you are because you have a gift. Put your hand on your gut, your belly. I have a gift, God. I have living water, God. Let it go. 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 Right? Let it go. I hate that song. See, Charlotte's not here. She'd be mad at me. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, it is hard. Say, it's hard. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's pretty difficult, isn't it? Of course, I've heard this story where there's a gate called the something gate, and they had to unpack the camel, make it get down on its knees and walk under the gate. That might be true. That might not be true. I always like to think of a camel going through the eye of a needle. With God, either one's. Means you got to unpack stuff sometimes to get in the kingdom. Because you unpack cares. You got to unpack things. To get in the presence of God. How many of y'all know how many distractions try to come against you anymore when you try to get in the presence of God? It's like, doo-doo, text alert, text alert. You gotta literally shut that thing off. You gotta shut that devil off. You gotta shut everything off that draws you away from the presence of God. You do, because it'll distract you. It'll distract you. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? Question mark. Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. I don't know how many of y'all remember, but we used to sing a song. It was a vineyard song. I think the name of it, I got the lyrics here, but I think the name of it is You Are Good, I think. Well, I just want to go through it because I think it's a powerful song, and I think it's, even though it doesn't have scripture in it, it may have a little scripture in it, but I think it'll minister to you. That's why I'm going to read it and not sing it. When living here has caused me pain, things that I just don't understand. Y'all ever been there? Sometimes living here causes pain, don't it? It does, man. Disappointments, sickness, death, all the things we face on this planet, right? When living here, because it's going to happen, it's guaranteed. When living here has caused me pain, things that I just don't understand, I must recount. Let's recount. Think about again. I must recount your faithfulness and the mercy of your hand. Think about that. I must recount how faithful you are and how merciful you've been to me, God, that I could have just went on and died in my sin. But God, you lassoed me, you rescued me, you reached deep down and you picked me up, God. When everything is said and done, what's that mean? I think that is, it's over. You've exhausted yourself. You've exhausted all yourself and your own means, right? How many of y'all have done everything you can to do something and then you worried about it? When everything is said and done and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are good. Your mercy, Lord, has pierced my heart. It brings me to my knees. In reverent fear, I'll trust your ways and worship at your feet. When everything is said and done and there's nothing left to say, the cross of Christ is proof enough. You are good. You are good. You're the lover of my soul. You're the healer of my heart. And I know that you're standing here, O Lord. We will never, no, never be apart. And then it goes, oh, to be a friend of God. How sweet to be a friend of God. Isn't it sweet to be a friend of God? Think about that for a minute. He's your best friend. Wow. Psalm 27, I'm closing. Two more scriptures. And I really was blessed by what Pastor James said the other night, because he was talking about the Word of God and how true and how faithful the Word of God is. And it's a matter, are you going to embrace it or are you just going to throw it away? And he didn't say it like that, but the Word of God is so powerful. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. You don't read the Bible to fulfill a homework assignment. You read the Bible to get closer to Jesus and to know what he likes and what he doesn't like. Who was it? There's a song by, I can't even think of their names. But it's, I only do what I see him doing. I only say what I hear him saying. I only go where I see him going. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you, Jesus, yeah, well, I don't know who it is, but it's a powerful song. It's because Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only say what I hear the Father saying, and I only go where I see the Father going. So, man, if we could live our lives like that, I only do what he says to do, I only go where he says to go, I only speak what he says to speak, wow, we probably wouldn't say much. We probably wouldn't say near as much as we say, would we? Psalm 27. I probably would have been finished 25 minutes ago, you know? No, I'm just teasing you. Psalm 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I had what? Believed. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Isaiah 40:30. We already said this one, but I think it bears repeating. Even the youth will faint and be weary. The young men will utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and they will not faint. So we're going to pray for some folks. I just want to pray. I just like to come into agreement and pray with you what God's already showed you. That because just like the pastor I was telling you about, most people didn't get that vision. You know, they didn't get it at all. But there's probably hundreds of people in the kingdom of God, maybe thousands, who knows? Maybe that one told two, maybe that one told hundreds. You don't know how many people are in the kingdom of God because this man obeyed God. And I know he's given some of y'all, you would think, is really weird. You'd think, well, people think this is weird. Well, they usually will. But you can't let what people think control your life, your spiritual life. You've got to. There's a lot of famous people that they thought were idiots. They thought Thomas Edison was an idiot. They did. Kicked him out of school. I think he only had, what, fourth? He was so far above everybody else, they thought he was an idiot. But I remember, y'all don't remember this unless you grew up. How many of y'all grew up in this general area? Listen, how many of y'all know about White Castles? There used to be a commercial, and this lady got on there and said, "Hey, Edison, who you gonna light up the street with a light bulb? Hey, Alexander, who you gonna call?" And Alexander Graham Bell, and they said, and they laughed at that little square hamburger back in 19 whatever, you know. And they did, and look, they're on every corner now. So he was a man of God. Did you know that? He was. You know, you don't remember back, but all they would sell there was Orange Crush because they thought Coke was evil. And the reason they did is because Coke was evil back then. It was cocaine. And anyway, anybody need prayer? I want to pray and bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord prosper you. The Lord bring your vision to fruition. The Lord give you grace. The Lord give you souls. The Lord God heal your body, make you healthy and whole. The Lord God heal your broken families. If your family is broken, if your family is divided, I pray unity in your family. I pray, God, over this nation. We agree together for this nation. God, it's never been more divided that I can remember. But, Lord, I thank you, God, that you'll take what the enemy meant for evil and you'll turn it around for your glory, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's been several times in this country where it was divided, divided. Right before the Civil War, there was a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, God knows what he needs to do right now. And Lord, we just come into agreement with you and show us what we need to do as a church. Show us what we need to do as individuals, God. Nothing, I want you to know, nothing is too crazy. Nothing is too far out. Nothing is too insane. Nothing is impossible with God. Well, once we get past that, you know, we walk in the supernatural a lot more. Because we don't get the impossible because rarely do we ask for the impossible. So let's have a time of prayer. If you've got physical need, come up.